From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. I'm going to be flying solo today in the hopes of bringing you up to date with the budget proposal made by President Trump, that is the fiscal year 2020 budget proposal, also giving you a bit of update from last week's legislative training seminar that was sponsored by NAPS. First, let's talk about the LTS. I just thought I'd let you know that with your colleagues here in Washington and those of you on who are listening today who attended the conference, we had over 350 congressional contacts between our members who were here, that is the LTS delegates, and members of Congress and their staff members. In addition, SPAC had a tremendous LTS raised $31,500 in contributions during the course of the LTS. Now, let's talk a bit about the fiscal year 2020 budget proposal by the President of the United States. The news is not good in terms of this submission. The good news is that it is likely dead on arrival at the Congress, but that being said, it does set the stage for some contentious interactions between the White House and Congress over the course of this year. First, let's talk about the hits to the federal and postal compensation package. In total, the president recommends reductions of over $102 billion over the next decade. That includes a number of benefits that are important to NAPS members. Firstly, the president's budget proposal would increase the employee contribution by 1% per year for the next 8 years. So the increased contribution between now and the year 2028 could increase the employee contribution by 8%, so bringing the total FERS contribution to 8.8%. That would save the federal government almost $79 billion over the next year. The second proposal that the president has made was to implement a defined contribution plan for term employees. That means employees who work for the federal government under a contract for or up to 4 years. To be vested in the federal employees retirement system, you need 5 years of employment. Now, what effect of this would be is any employee who has a term to work for the federal government but decides to continue on with the government or who receives an offer for continued employment will not be vested in the system for the 4 years that they were a term employee. That means they would start from scratch at the point they convert from a term employee to a civil service employee who's a career employee. Also, the president's proposal would eliminate the federal employees' retirement system cost of living adjustment. That is, no COLA for FERS retirees. And additionally, the CIS civil service retirement system COLA would be decreased by 0.5%. That means if the inflation rate is 2% in a particular year, the cost of living adjustment would only be 1.5%. That savings, 10-year savings, would be almost $56 billion. Another proposal made by the president is to eliminate the special retirement supplement. That's the FERS supplement for those employees who retire from federal service prior to reaching the eligibility for Social Security. So under current law, FERS employees who retire before Social Security eligibility get a supplemental retirement benefit that makes them whole or brings them up to what they would have received if they retired when they were eligible for Social Security. That would save approximately $18.5 billion over 10 years. The president also recommended changing the calculation for the retirement formula from the high 3 years to the high 5 years. That is, the three highest consecutive years of salary the federal employee or postal employee has would change to 5 years. This would save the federal budget almost $7 billion. The president also embraced a proposal made last year, which would be to convert the earnings from the G Fund to a lesser amount. Currently, the G Fund contributions in the Thrift Savings Plan earn approximately 2.9% interest. That's income of 2.9% per year. The president's proposal would reduce that amount by almost 72%. That's a 72% on the rate of return, decrease in the rate of return of the G Fund. The change would be accomplished by taking into account only the four-year T-bill rate rather than currently the average of all T-bills sold by the federal government. When I say T-bill, those are treasury certificates. The proposed president's proposal also makes a substantial change in the federal employees' health benefits program. What it would do is it would reduce the employer contribution by 1%. Right now, the contribution is 72%, is the amount that the Postal Service or the federal government contributes on behalf of retirees. Of course, as we know, the employee contribution as you're an active postal employee is determined by either collective bargaining or consultation. But for retirees, it's 72%. That employer contribution would be reduced by 1% to 71%. However, the federal government would increase contributions by 5% to those plans it considers to be high-performing plans. There is no definition in the budget of what federal government considers to be a high-performing plan. Now I'd like to pivot a bit to the Postal Service. The president's budget proposal recommends reductions of approximately $98 billion attributable to the Postal Service. In a large part, reflects the amount of savings that would come from reductions in the employee and retiree benefits, as I just outlined a couple of minutes ago. But in addition to that, the president's proposal recommends that the postage rates be raised on parcels, that there be a reduction in the delivery frequency, that is, the amount of days that deliveries are received at the postal customer's residence or business, contracting out mail processing work, and lastly, opening up the mailbox for a fee, and that means licensing private carriers, private delivery networks, to be able to deposit mail into the mail receptacles in front of someone's house, whether they be rural mailboxes or boxes in front of the customer's residence. Also, the president's proposal sort of ignores the retiree health liability that is currently assumed by the Postal Service. It doesn't do anything really to relieve that pressure. Rather, it simply re-amortizes the total liability over a longer period of time. There are a number of proposals that are before Congress. For example, one of the proposals is to invest the retiree health benefits trust fund in investments that are similar to the TSP, which would reduce the liability. Another proposal would be to basically decrease the amount of individuals who will have been considered vested in the program, rather than counting from the first date of employment in the Postal Service to only take into account when the individual is actually vested in the program, which would be 5 years prior to retirement. There's no indication in the budget's proposal that idea that sort of emerged from the president's task force on the postal system actually was embraced within the budget. Also, a number of other proposals that are considered by Congress was not embraced by the budget. In any case, these budget proposals are an important factor, an important messages that we are going to be sending to Capitol Hill over the next couple of months. NAPS is going to be opposing these egregious cuts to our earned benefits, to NAPS members' earned benefits. Additionally, we will be fighting to enact meaningful, constructive, and positive postal reform rather just simply to kick the can down the road. With that, I look forward to speaking with you next week on the next edition of NAPS Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna